Now, back in May of 2015, a group of pastors from Classes Alberta South in Saskatchewan and some pastors from Edmonton, Lake Superior, and BC went on a guided tour of Egypt, Jordan, and Israel back in 2015. This tour was led by George DeYoung, a CRC pastor from Zeeland, Michigan, and his trip and his teaching inspired this sermon idea, which was preached on one of the first Sundays after I returned home from the trip, when all the imagery was still fresh in my mind. We read from Luke chapter 1 and Luke chapter 24. But before we read, let's ask for the Holy Spirit to lead us. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have sent your Holy Spirit, and through your Holy Spirit that you have sent your word. Speak to us through your word in such a way that we may know your Son, that we may know his blessing. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we begin chapter 1, verse 5 through 10, and then 21 through 22. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife, Elizabeth, was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. Now once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. And then we turn to verse 21. Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. And then we turn to the last chapter, the last few verses. Chapter 24, the verses 50 through 53. And this is after Jesus had appeared to his disciples a number of times. Then Jesus had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany. He lifted up his hands, and he blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, as we celebrate the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ to the throne of God, we might assume that we would be reading the telling of the ascension from Acts chapter 1. But here we are, and we read from the opening and closing chapters of the Gospel of Luke, and we begin and we end our reading at the temple in Jerusalem. Now, one of the things that I learned on our trip is how magnificent and dominant temples were in the ancient world. Along one stretch of the Nile. Now, when I used to think of Egypt, I used to think of this, you know, pink square on the map that we had in our atlas when I was a kid in school. But when you come to Egypt, you don't see this pink blotch. What you see is a river, the Nile, and then the Delta region, And that's where all the people live. And then outside of the Nile, you have the desert, the place of death. So along one stretch of the Nile, there were no less than 300 of these great temples. So just imagine that. No matter where you lived in Egypt, you could look up while you were doing your work and see one of these great temples. And these temples were there to remind you of the awe of the God, so that if you came to worship at this temple, you would look up in awe at the presence of the gods, or God. Now in Jordan, we saw a half-excavated ancient city built in Roman times, and once again, it was also dominated by a magnificent temple. But the greatest temple in the ancient world is the one that began a restoration and massive expansion in the day of King Herod the Great. Now, I always wondered why Herod was called the Great, as we know him as the one who put to death the children of Bethlehem. Herod was called Great for two reasons. First, to distinguish him from his three sons called Herod, who inherited parts of his kingdom. And second, because Herod was a builder who left behind huge monuments to his name, and the greatest of those monuments was the temple. And so we begin our reading in the time of King Herod at the temple, largely built through his influence. And we see a priest belonging to the division of Abijah married to Elizabeth, another descendant of Aaron. The name of the priest is Zechariah, which means the Lord remembers. And his wife's name, Elizabeth, means God knows, or God has sworn an oath. And so Zechariah and Elizabeth wonder if the Lord will remember them and will know them. They wonder if the Lord will know and remember his people. So far, it seems like the Lord has forgotten them, has forgotten his people. You know, when God's people, the Israelites, first went to Egypt, they remained there in the presence of these huge Egyptian temples for over 300 years, for parts of four centuries, and they waited to return to the land that God had promised. They waited for God to remember them. In the time of Elizabeth and Zechariah, it had been hundreds of years since a prophet had spoken the word of the Lord directly to his people, and they waited and they wondered if God remembered them. Has he forgotten them? On this day, the lot falls on Zechariah to fulfill the priestly duty of burning the incense in the holy sanctuary. In the meantime, an assembled crowd of people is praying outside, and I wonder if they are praying, God, remember your people. After all, with Herod and the Romans ruling God's people, life isn't a picnic. Yes, Herod has done these amazing things, including building that temple, but in the meantime, there are soldiers running roughshod over the people. And I suspect that it is a prayer that we offer constantly. Lord our God, remember us. Remember us in our troubles. Remember us during this time of waiting for some normalcy to return in this time of COVID. Yes, it's true. We live in one of the rich, fertile areas of the world. Compare it to the deserts of Egypt, to the wilderness, or even the green fields of Israel, which aren't the green that we think of when we think of a green field. We live in a country rich in soil and rich in water, but we still face troubles that might lead us to question if you, O Lord, remember us. We think of Margaret in that hospital for 3 months. And during our time of COVID, there have been funerals attended by just a few people. The day after I came back from my trip to the Middle East, a lady in our congregation gave birth to a child at 25 weeks gestation. What does that mean? Why do we suffer, some people, from mental illness, anxiety, depression? Has the Lord forgotten us? Does the Lord no longer know us? And so we assembled worshipers both here and on live stream. Pray to God. God, remember us in our troubles. In the meantime, Zechariah hears a word from God. He hears that God both knows him and his wife. He hears that the Lord has remembered him and his wife. He hears that the Lord has remembered his people and that he will bring back his people through the work of Zechariah's son. But Zechariah has trouble believing, and so he asks for a sign. And a sign he does receive. He will not be able to speak until those words of God are fulfilled. And while Zechariah is listening to the word of the Lord, the people are becoming concerned. They are waiting for Zechariah. They are wondering why he stays so long in the temple. After all, they have smelt the aroma of the incense burning. He should have come out soon after and brought them God's blessing. He doesn't utter the words of Aaron the priest. He doesn't say, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace." No, Zechariah comes out making signs and failing to speak. And so the people realize that Zechariah must have seen a vision, but he does not bring the blessing to God's people. The priest has failed in his priestly duty. He has not brought God's blessing. And as we walk through the Gospel of Luke, we await for a priest to bring God's blessing. And although we see priests in action in the Gospel, we do not see them bringing God's blessing. In fact, throughout the gospel, it seems that the priests are hindering the delivery of God's blessing. They seem to be countering the work of God. Take how they treat Jesus. At almost every instant, they attack the Savior. And finally, at the end of the gospel, the priests go out of their way to finally put Jesus to death. They arrest him on the Mount of Olives in the garden near the olive press. They find false witnesses against him, but the witnesses can't agree. And finally, they convict Jesus on the basis of his own words, "Are you the Son of God?" And Jesus replied, saying, you are right in saying, I am. I am Yahweh. And they deliver the Son of God into the hands of the Romans so that he can be crucified. In a sense, they are finally doing their priestly duty. They are sacrificing the Passover Lamb of God. They are making sure that death passes over the people of God. But in the meantime, as we read the Gospel of Luke, we are still awaiting the promised priestly blessing of God. The crucified Jesus has arisen from the grave in the third day, but we still await for the blessing for God's people. And now he appears to his disciples for one last time. And the sacrificial lamb has now become the priest. He leads his disciples again to the vicinity of the temple, to the place where his sacrifice began. Jesus leads his disciples to the Mount of Olives, overlooking the Temple Mount. And Jesus now lifts up his priestly hands and he blesses his disciples. He blesses Luke's readers. He blesses God's people. The Lord bless you and keep you. And while Jesus, the priest, is blessing his followers, he ascends and he is taken up into heaven. Jesus, our priest, is taken up to be at the throne of God the Father. Now, if you remember, Zechariah went into the holy place and he burned incense in front of the throne room of God, in front of the holiest of holy places. And in so doing, he brought the prayers of the people. Lord, remember your people. Lord, do not forget your people in their times of trouble. And now it is Jesus' turn to stand in that priestly place at the throne of God. It is Jesus who offers our prayers to the Father. Remember your people. Do not forget your people. And so now we have a priest who pleads our cause at all times in the presence of the Father. We no longer have to wait for the appointed priest to appear at the appointed time. Our priest is present with the Father at all times. He hears our prayers no matter when we pray, and he delivers them to the Father. That's why we pray in Jesus' name. Because Jesus is the one who passes along our prayers. This does not mean that we won't face trouble or adversity, but it means that God knows our troubles. It means that God does not forget us. He remembers us. And after all, he is the God who loved us so much that he sent his only son, Jesus, to be the sacrificial lamb for us. And it is this sacrificial lamb who is now our priest, who brings our prayers to the Father. Our Heidelberg Catechism points to this good news in question and answer 49. How does Christ's ascension to heaven benefit us? First, he pleads our cause in heaven in the presence of his Father. And second, we have our own flesh in heaven, a guarantee that Christ our head will take us, his members, to himself in heaven. And third, he sends his Spirit to us, on earth as a further guarantee. And by the Spirit's power, we make the goal of our lives not earthly things, but the things above, where Christ is, sitting at God's right hand. And how do disciples respond to Christ's blessing at his ascension? They worshiped God and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God, it says. Now, of course, with our high priest in heaven at God's throne, we no longer have to go to that temple in Jerusalem to worship. We can worship God right here in this building, right there in your own homes, right now. We can worship God all week long. So let's spend this week leading up to Pentecost, praising our loving God. Amen.